Hi, I'm Jay Shirok, family physician and diabetologist at Torrey University, California. We're continuing our series on insulin use in primary care. I'm here today with Amy Butts, physician assistant and certified diabetes educator in West Virginia. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, Jay. Thank you for having me.
You bet. So today's topic is about premixed insulin and where it fits in the spectrum of diabetes treatment. So we have so many insulins to pick from today, and you know, that's really in some ways a blessing, but some ways a challenge. And one of the questions that I get frequently is, where does premixed insulin fit and who's a good candidate? So maybe let's start with that. Where do you use premixed insulin?
Well, when I'm talking to my patients, the first thing that I like to do is have a nice conversation with them about what are they fearful of, what are they willing to do, what are they willing not to do. You have to individualize all diabetes therapy according to whatever your patient is willing to put into it. So once I talk to them, the biggest obstacle probably is getting a patient to commit to a 4-shot-a-day regimen. Of course, it seems perfect for us to have patients take mealtime insulin 3 times a day and basal insulin at night, but we know that a lot of patients, despite that being prescribed to them, they really don't take all 4 shots a day. So once we have an open, honest conversation with each other, that allows me then to be able to decide whether they're willing to give me 2 shots a day, then I'll go with that to begin with. These patients typically are patients who have been on oral medicines and basal insulin and are not to goal because their A1Cs are still above 7, or if we're having them test 2-hour postprandial glucose, they're still high. Another good candidate is a patient who maybe is on a GLP-1 and a basal insulin. So they're used to 2 shots a day or maybe 1 shot a week and 1 shot a day, and they're willing to not have to go up any higher on those shots, but at least they're willing to take that into consideration. Last but not least, I would say the biggest factor for me these days is cost, and especially my Medicare patients. 2 insulins are very expensive from 1 month to the next. So if we can't afford it or we're afraid to hit those donut holes, those are clearly the patients that I would definitely assume to use the mixed insulins. Not my ideal choice, but compliance is key, and if they can't afford it, they won't take it.
That's great. So premixed insulins can be more cost effective. They can be easier because they're 2 shots a day, and that might help compliance for the patient or adherence.
Correct.
So what are the weaknesses of premixed insulin?
Well, of course, the weaknesses are that it does not physiologically match up to what the normal pancreas does. So if we're giving a shot at breakfast, we're getting long-acting to carry us through till the evening, and we're getting short-acting to cover our breakfast, and then that second shot is covering us through the night with our long-acting and our post-dinner, but we're not getting any help during the day. So if you have a patient who eats lunch, and they're eating high-carbohydrate lunch, we're going to have a hard time getting those pre-dinner readings to where they need to be. The other issue is you do have to be concerned with hypoglycemia. These patients typically do need to be on a good, normal schedule. So they need to be getting up around the same time every day. They need to be eating their meals around the same time every day to give balance to their blood glucose readings. So if you have a patient, which a lot of us do have crazy lifestyles these days, those patients would not be candidates for it. The other problem, too, is it's very fixed. So, you know, 70-30, 75-25, 70% is long-acting, 30% is short-acting. As you increase the dosage, you're increasing both. So the patient may be good with their fastings, but they need more help post-meal. When you increase that dosage, you're getting majority long-acting. So it does give us some barriers at controlling those fluctuating readings.
What's the difference between human premixed insulin and analog premixed insulin? Because you've given me some numbers, but you know, when we're looking at cost, sometimes some of my patients are stuck with using human premixed insulin.
So the biggest factor is what we have in those short-acting insulins. The short-acting insulin in the Humulin or Novalin 70/30 is regular. It doesn't onset until 30 minutes after taking it. It peaks at 3 hours, and it's in the body for about 6 hours. So you have a higher rate of hypoglycemia in patients using your Humulin or Novalin 70/30s compared to your analogs, your Humalog 75/25 or Novalog 70/30. Because when our food is digesting, our post meals are spiking and the glucose is going to lower about 3 hours after eating, but that regular insulin is gonna hold on. So if a patient is not getting to lunch on time, there is a much higher risk of hypoglycemia with the Humulin and Novalins.
So if you use the human insulin, that you can use them effectively, but you have to have a fixed schedule, meals have to come on time, and it sounds like really the carbohydrate content should be relatively consistent too.
I agree. And the biggest thing is making sure your patients understand how these insulins work. If you're forced to use these older insulins, you can get good control with them as long as the patient understands how they work and what they need to be watching for, which obviously we're all concerned with hypoglycemia.
Sure, absolutely. What about pen versus vial?
Well, pens, obviously, I think for most people are preferred. For us providers who have struggled for years to get patients to be willing to take injections, we love the fact that GLP-1s have come on board. Patients will always take injections if they're going to lose weight, or it might help them to lose weight rather than taking insulin. So GLP-1s have helped us to progress into using insulin in patients. So once patients are comfortable with using an injection via GLP-1 pen device, it's a very easy transition into using insulin in a pen device. The other factors are dexterity issues. If you have a patient with arthritis, pens are much easier to manipulate and use than the vial and syringe. Same as for vision. We all know that diabetics do struggle with visual issues, and those numbers on those pen devices are very big. So it does reduce the risk for error in delivering that insulin dosage. But on the opposite, you have cost. So once again, some of my Medicare patients are my patients that have high deductibles or can't afford these pen devices. We do use vials in order, once again, to make sure they can comply with their medication.
Yeah, so many important points. So it sounds like premixed insulin can still be a viable option, but if someone's going to use premix, they need to have a fixed schedule, they need to have fixed carbohydrate content, they need to know about peaks and valleys in the insulin, but the loss in schedule flexibility they gain in benefits with decreased cost and decreased shots.
Correct.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time today. These are really important points, and we appreciate your insight.
Thank you, Jay.